hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
I was going to do a stunt this morning. I was going to bring sunglasses and see if I could see you any clearer. Then I was going to say, you're all dim. Now, that's a bit smart. But it's one thing, you know, if you see life through lenses that are dimming, what's life about? We've got ultra beautiful, polarized, plus extra special, goodness knows what glasses in our heart that helps us to see God's way above the world's way. And you know, we'll always, every day, see the world's way. In the world, you shall have tribulation. The Bible says that. So don't expect it to be a joyride. The joy is the Lord. Having the Lord is your joy. And in the midst of adversity, inside there's a little face that's smiling, saying, well, I don't understand this, but oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And you might have to grit your teeth, declare it 100 times, but you know, the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's in the book. You don't have to copy that, change it, it's in the book. But I don't feel the joy of the Lord. No, some days I don't feel like living. You know, you get tired, you get discouraged, you feel like checking out, and then the word of the Lord comes in and says, this is the day the Lord's made. So I'll just sit back and mope. Is that what the Bible says? I didn't hear an amen, so perhaps I'm wrong. But I'll try again. The Bible says, this is the day the Lord has... Yeah, this is the day the Lord says, we will sit in church, we'll sit in church, we'll listen, we'll look, we'll evaluate, we'll try and learn, our heads will engage. No, what's rejoicing? It's not a head thing. This is a day, right, we'll all say it this time, okay? This is a day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be miserable. Look at those Christians just taking a dose of a lemon juice and they're smiling. Look, people should see you as someone who's been to a party and you're full of it. Can I give you one illustration about this? When I went to Scotland a few years ago, I went to meet a friend of mine. And I wasn't quite sure I was. I was trying to find Angie's beauty salon. Can you remember that day? Jeff met me, and we went across, and we're coming across the road to find the beauty salon, and the Holy Spirit hit us. And we were laughing and roaring, and it was wonderful. Then we went home, the Spirit of God was still on us, and there was a drunken lady in his house that his wife was ministering to. She had been so busy taking up her time, and we came in with the joy of the Lord. And you know what the Scottish lady said? My God, what have they been on to? She saw straight away that something's happened. And so we said, no, it's my God, all right, but it's not your whiskey, it's not your drink, it's the Spirit of the Lord. And she was hit by what we were hit, and she's never experienced anything like that before. Don't know where she is today, but you see, we're carriers of the Spirit of God. Sometimes it's noisy and enthusiastic and puts some people off and turns some people on. Sometimes it's quiet and calm because he can be a gentle spirit. When people need gentle love and care, you don't run in like a roaring train and say, yay! And you certainly don't try and manipulate the situation. Let the Holy Spirit and the voice of God tell you what's going on, because you carry a brilliant investment of the power to change the world. Ah, oh, good, thank you. I'm not asking for you to say amen. I want the word of the Lord to have an amen. Amen. The Lord says, you have this, what? Treasure in what? Earthen vessels. So we're just drain pipes. We're just field tiles. We're just pipes. Where's the treasure? What happens to the treasure? It's got to be on the inside. All right? What have you got inside? What are you carrying? Who are you carrying? That is seen. I started to wonder not long after I was a Christian why people were always looking at me and sort of smiling, or as though they knew me. But they were seeing something that was in me that I hadn't fully realized was there. And now, in my more mature years, I'm determining to get that out. So when we go to the supermarket, you smile, not because, oh, I better smile. I don't know if I've got enough money, but we'll go to the supermarket anyway. No, you go rejoicing in the Lord sometimes. Oh, sorry, made another mistake. We go rejoicing in the Lord?
Always.
And when you get there, they don't see you. You're the drain pipe. They see the water, the river, the life. They don't know what it is. But many a person will smile at you and they'll not know why they're smiling. Because it's a recognition of spirit. The other's true too. If they're carrying stuff that's toxic to the Spirit of God, they may even come under conviction. They may even react. You carry something that is not this world. Hello? You're carriers of revival. John, good to see you in church, mate. What were you carrying after you fell? The Lord. Was he hurting too? Yes. Because you see, whether our body is accidentally hurt, whether circumstances tear us down, the word you brought this morning is the word of the Lord for all of us. Amen. Yeah. You know, circumstances have the power to pull us down, but the Lord has the power to raise us up. And little things, it's not, we don't always get it right, but every now and then the little things come to us from the kingdom of God. If you carry the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of Christ lives in you, then we need to learn to listen to the Spirit, not to what our body's saying, not to what our minds are saying. They're valid, because this is a body. It is a body. I can feel it. Okay? So we need to listen to the body, but not primarily listen to the body. Listen to the Spirit of God who's in us. And here we are this morning. I was rushing to church this morning, in the car, Bible in the car, on the way to, and that little voice spoke to me. Said, open your Bible. And I'm driving down Dunbar's Road. A silly thing to think about. 9:45, I'll be late for church if I stop and open my Bible. I stopped to that little voice and opened up my Bible, and there were none of my sermon notes in the Bible. They were on the kitchen table. So I turned around and came back. Now, what would a normal person do? And I'm normal too. I very nearly went normal on that one. Okay? Normal says, look, the Holy Spirit's in power. You don't need the notes. Just go for it. I'm with you. And forget about what's happened. But what did I have to do? I had to obey the voice of the Spirit. And sometimes we don't recognize that because we're so used to hearing whose voice? Our own. Or other people. Or the world around us. So part of our life is cultivating as Christians an intimacy that learns to recognize that prompting from within. It's not, well, sometimes it's supernatural, but for me, most of the time, it's just a nudge or an impact or a thought. I'll ring someone just because I'm thinking of them, but it can often be the right time. And sometimes you hear wrong. When in my first parish, when I was still learning in Tauranga about, many more years ago than I want to remember, I was praying and I heard in my heart, I thought, one of our parishioners saying, come and be with me. So I thought, that must be the Spirit of God. So I went all the way across town at great expense to myself because I was about to have morning tea. And I went across to his house and knocked on the door, and he opened the door and grumpy looking face. I said, hello. He said, what do you want? I said, I've come to visit you. You visited me 2 days ago. What's wrong with me? And did I get a serve? Was that the voice of the Lord? I don't know. But I'm learning how to hear a voice which God can use to bring to his glory. Even if it's not his voice, he can still turn it to his glory. So I'm traveling home thinking, that was a bit of a waste of time, Lord. And I heard as clear as possible into my thinking, my thoughts, just testing, thanks. So how real is the Spirit of God to you? Is it some religious framework that says it has to happen when you're in church, but when you go out of there, the world will be shouting at you and you're going to get caught up in something? Or are you hearing something inside that's cultivated within you called the Spirit of God? The Holy Spirit is with our spirit, telling us, convicting us, showing us that we are the Lord's. And if you don't know the Lord or his Holy Spirit, why not? Because other voices are saying, what if? Other voices are saying, I'm not used to this. But there's a drawing power of the Holy Spirit that's much stronger, which when the point time comes, you see, when you say, yes, I ask Jesus to come into my heart, because that's the job of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that? His job is to reveal Jesus. We can't idolize the Holy Spirit. He's part of a triune, Father, Son, and Spirit. His job is to reveal Jesus. Do you know what Jesus' job is? To reveal the love of the Father and bring you into eternal salvation forever, regardless of what you think or how you think it's going to work out. If he's given sovereignty in your life and the Holy Spirit's drawing you, respond. Even if it's yes, I don't understand. Even as well, I know you say you love me, but I've been so damaged, so wounded, so hurt, I can't trust anymore. Guess who will restore trust to you in his time? It's his. Once you give your life to him, he's able to take care of the things that you just can't handle. Because then you and the Holy Spirit become a partnership. And the task of the Holy Spirit is to reveal Jesus, and the task of Jesus is to reveal the love of the... Do you know one of the things that's crazy about this generation? We're becoming a fatherless generation. There are people out there hungering for the sort of love of a father that is going to embrace them, value them, cherish them, give them purpose in life, and cause them to walk with confidence. And all of the counseling I've been doing for so many years now, the number of times I've had people say, I can't accept this because so-and-so beat me up, so-and-so let me down, I did this, I did that, and they live in condemnation for years sometimes, and doubt and wounding. Jesus says, look, let me get hold of your life. I'll comfort you. I'll give you the Father's comfort. I'll love you. I'll give you the Father's love. I will give you a destiny and direction, but you can't see it now. But don't back off because you can't see it, because if you want to see it, then you get back in charge again. Hello? He sees what you don't see. And intimacy with him is a real key. How do we find it? Linda, do you want to come up and just share with us a little story from Linda's life? This is my lovely wife. And she's had to... Yeah, well, she's had to steer me 50 years more.
Hi, Dungan just asked me to share something that the Lord spoke to me many years ago, actually. I was sitting in my lounge room having my quiet time. My children were younger. And I was having a quiet time, and the Lord interrupted, if you like. That's what I call it. I have this lovely friendship with my father that, you know, we just chat very naturally. And he said to me, he showed me this on the wall. Can you hold the bag?
Yep.
I was sitting in an armchair, and he showed me this mirror on the wall. And he spoke to me, and he said to me, can that mirror reflect your image? And I said, yes, Lord, it can. He said, is it? And I said, no, Lord, it isn't. He said, go and stand in front of it. So I went and stood in front of it, and guess what? I saw myself. And then the Lord said to me, this mirror can only reflect your image because you're standing in front of it. And you can only reflect mine if you stand before me.
Do you hear the point? Present yourselves to him, the Bible says, as a living sacrifice. So easily tempted to move our way because of our upbringing, because of some good and bad relationships generationally. Sometimes tempted to think, well, I'm pretty okay myself, but you really aren't fully okay till you come face to face with the Lord. Often we'll say, okay, if that's what you're saying, you do it. I wouldn't be brave enough to say that to God, because he's got methods that could bring us, humble us, because it's not us telling him what to do. It's him drawing us into relationship with himself. He won't bully you. He won't even sometimes try to convince you, because if you get faith in your head, what's going to happen to your heart? One of the things I've learned a lot of in Elijah House training is the longest distance a person has to walk is the journey from their head to their heart. Many intellectual, academic, theological, religious Christians, and God knows how to deal with them. Sometimes we have to try and adjust them, but it doesn't work. But I pray for those who've got a head knowledge of the heart of the Lord, because the head knowledge needs to do what? Go to the heart. And that's called intimacy with God. Most of us think it's an ongoing, all the time, gung-ho experience. I've found in my own time there are dry times when I wonder where he is. In fact, I've said to him several times, where are you, God? Are you on night shift or something? Because, you know, and yet the scripture says, lo, I am with you always. So in your bed when you sleep, he's with you. When you're going through pain, he's with you. When you're in the hospital, He's with you. No, that grumpy old nurse. No. No, look, we can judge people and situations from our own pain, our own understanding, even our own upbringing, even a reflection of our own earthly parents or others, and we're not into dissing that. But if we make judgments based on what we see with our head, our heart can't get the message. That's why we invite people to come and give their heart to Jesus. But if you come to the altar for prayer, and it's a head prayer, it's only half the job done. It may be one more step that God takes you towards heart issues. But, you know, in the old revival days, they used to come down here and cry their eyes out. And I remember in this church, and I'm not going back to the good old days, but 30 years ago, you know, people in front here, a whole line of them, weeping before God. Now, we couldn't create that. And everything within me wants to see it again. But I'm not God. So you say, Lord, what you require to do in me, please do it. But here's the key. I give you permission. Do you think we have to give God permission? No. But when we pray that, that permission happens in our heart. If you give God permission, then batten down the hatches. Because you're not really going to like some of the things. Lord, here's the greatest prayer I prayed, the worst prayer I've ever prayed, but the best prayer I've ever prayed. Lord, show me what's in my heart. And we stand in good company. Okay? Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me thoroughly and have known me. God knows you better than you know yourself. Would you give him permission to search you and know you? And then he goes in, he says, you know my down sitting and my uprising. You understand my thoughts afar off. That's the brain. You sift and search out my path and my lying down. Good. And you are acquainted with all my ways. So there's no hiding. In the teachings with Sanford's, John says quite clearly, there is no such thing as a secret sin. If you do something in a quiet place, in a dark place, in a secret place, and you think you're the only one getting the satisfaction, you're defiling someone else without even knowing it. Because we're, as John said last week, we are corporate. Anything you do that's unchristlike affects you someone somewhere, and that's why sometimes we have to repent for our sin. You can't sin in secret. Oh, yes, I can, and it's so good. No, that's the problem with sin. It's very enticing. But the greatest goodness is to come apart with the Lord. I think it was Marcus Arden who said the quote, Christians, you need to come apart, or you'll come apart. Isn't that subtle? Come apart with him. Come one-on-one with intimacy with him. Even if you don't know how to do it, just talk to him. He doesn't worry if you talk to him the same way as you talk to your cat. And some people are more intimate with their animals than they are with people because of the barriers in their life. But talk to him as though there's no barriers. Talk to him as though he sees and knows all about you but loves you just the same. Talk to him with the scripture that says there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk every day, that's the condition, in the Spirit of the Lord. If you have Jesus in your heart, that's your heritage. To walk in the Spirit every day and not be condemned. You will do things wrong. People will take a swipe at you. You'll get into difficult situations because this world is governed by principalities and powers greater than we can handle. But imagine what happened if every person in the church here today got together and prayed for the city corporately. And do you think God would say, oh, no, there was about two or three people were out watching cricket that day. No, I can't answer that prayer. Or some people were sick and couldn't turn up. Oh, I won't answer that prayer. If two or three are gathered together in his name, scripture says, there am I in the midst. Pray about everything. Everything. Oh, I know someone who prays for parking lots. That's silly. Parking spaces, fancy doing that. I've done it and it works. I'd rather pray for a parking space and not get it and then deal with my personal disappointment about why God hasn't answered my prayer. At the hospital this week, I tried that. I went, I thought, oh, thank you, Lord, for my car park. I was going around the block 20 minutes before I could see anything. It looked like a parked car park. Finally, I ended up away at the top end of Hagley Park, and I had to walk 20 minutes in my condition to get there. Oh, you didn't give me a part, God, because the world doesn't revolve around you. You all right? Everyone's not a satellite in your world. But the Lord will make things. If you pray wrong, he will answer his way. I needed the exercise that day, Lord, obviously. And the prayer, if you do get disappointed and don't think your prayers have been answered, come back to the place of intimacy. Don't say, Lord, I'm disappointed today. Talk to him like my wife talks to him. I've heard her say some really strong things to the Lord. Isn't that right? Yeah, she's nodding her head off. I must have got that one right. Because the bottom line is you're allowed to question God. Little children are allowed to ask Daddy, Daddy, why has the moon got green cheese? And Daddy doesn't say, ah, you silly kid, grow up and learn there's not green cheese on the moon. No, you say, you just help the child understand where they're at. Because the Father knows where you're at. And as an earthly father, sometimes I don't and I blow it. Well, I have to apologize, go to my kids or whatever, and put it right. So what we're really saying this morning, and it was on my heart, was that the faith that we have in Jesus with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is a faith of the heart. Anyone got heart problems this morning? The greatest heart surgeon spiritually is in our midst. Give your heart to him. Anything toxic in your system, the greatest nutritionist is with you this morning. Anyone feel they're being bullied and hurt and fought and dominated and crushed and wounded, the greatest panel beater is in your midst. He'll knock you into shape. Ouch! We've been knocked into shape, and I tell you what, it sometimes sounds brutal, but I'm standing here today because of God's faithfulness, and I've got so much more because of God's faithfulness. Look, I'm not belittling that all of us, and particularly us last year, have gone through a hard time and a tough year. Do you think God's sitting up in heaven saying, oh, let them guts it out? And then when he doesn't seem to be coming to the party, where the heck has he gone? You see, that's when we have to allow our spirit to declare scriptures, I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you, but I don't feel like it. You know, sometimes I've prayed, and we did last week, we asked for an angel to send someone with a packing, at least I did, I think Linda did too, and someone walked in the door and said, can I help you pack? It's not a coincidence, okay? It's a God incidence. And all things, talk to him. The employment issue. Oh, that was, you know, the world will rationalize that and rob and steal what God has done. Don't agree with the world. Come out of agreement with deception and lies and come into agreement with life and truth. But don't just do it. There's one thing in between, lies and deception and true life and truth. Do you know what it's called for Christians?
Amen.
It's called the cross. That's the first mention of the cross today. On the cross, the communion service was the first mention. So the cross mentioned in the communion service, the body of Jesus Christ given for you. 2,000 years ago on the cross, Jesus shared everything to bring us in to everything he had. He gave up his heavenly inheritance so that we could inherit that. Everything God has for us is ours in him, but we have to go through the power of the cross, which means, here's the hard part. Do you know what the cross talks about? What did he have to do on the cross? Die. That's the pain. If God's killing something and you don't try and resurrect it, if you've got fruit in your life and symptoms in your life that are causing bad fruit, don't try and work your way out of it. Confess your faults. Confess your faults to him. Confess your sins to one another. Trust that in confessing you will be free from the pain. And find someone alongside, not just say any old someone, but if you're lonely, if it's not just something in your heart, but you physically have no friends, ask the Lord to give you a friend. Ask the Lord to give you someone of his choosing. In our first parish in Dannevirke, 40 years ago, I suppose, we went to an old church with very few people, completely seemed to be, in the world's words, a dead church or a dying church in a country town. And our first weekend, Saturday before the first service, we said, well, please send us someone. And P.S., said Linda, with musical skills. And God's always for his kingdom, always wanting to send people beyond where you are. And a couple turned up at church the next morning, and he had a squeeze box with him. Never had a squeeze box and accordion in church before, but we asked for music, so that's what God chose. And so they became good friends of ours. We set up a home group, a contact group, and that group grew. Well, that's many years ago. If you ask where that man is today, he found faith and strength in the 2 years he was with us. He's now preaching to thousands in Asia and seeing demons fly out of people. I could never have done that. But can you imagine what would have happened if they'd never come to that place of transition to the next stage of their journey? And he still says to this day, the Lord put foundational stuff in us when the day we arrive with you. Hey, that's not heavy duty specific ministry stuff in terms of ministers. You can be a minister of life, and you don't know where the people in your life are going to be in 10 years' time, 5 years' time, 5 minutes' time. The person you're talking to in the shop may die tomorrow. It's urgent, but it's not urgent in the flesh. It's urgent if your spirit is led to say, think, or do something. And intimacy with God is true, is the true thing. So I really wanted to talk about true heart motives. And Colossians 3:16 tells us that. And make his house his home. Where? In your heart. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, do all for the honor and glory of God. And yet so many people are trying to, and it's not wrong, to get your career sorted out and your pathway through life. It's okay if you and God are doing it together. God will open opportunities that the world cannot understand. And God will give you things. But don't just say, do it now, God, because that's the flesh saying, I want it now because I can't stand it. You know, there's this constant battle. Give God a fair go. What you're asking for now, even though you desperately need it, maybe 6 months down the track, or it may be a no answer. And so we've got to ask God, give God glory and ask him, not as a demand, but as a consequence of our intimacy with him, would you please open up the truth? Now, I was going to share how this happens. It's power supply, but I won't do that today. Because if you just look at the first few chapters of the Acts of the Apostles, and you'll see there was power given to them by the Holy Spirit. They were filled to speak in the power of Jesus' name. They were filled with boldness of ordinary men. People saw, and this is a wonderful prayer if you want to pick it up. Lord, help people to see Jesus. Maybe not even Jesus in me, because me might get in the way. But people saw in that scripture in Acts, they saw they'd been with Jesus. If you've been with Jesus, there's a consequence. Good fruit on the tree. And the bad fruit gets recognized, honored for what it is, and then dishonored on the cross. So you're recognized by fruit, bad fruit. Repent. Turn around. Say sorry to God. Not because you've been found out, but because you know you've hurt your heart, God's heart, and other people's heart. Bad fruit does not last. Good fruit lasts forever. And they did that. All happened in the Acts of the Apostles. Read it. Also says there were witnesses to Jesus, and all the believers shared. Ah, here's another one. Not quite as nice. Some died. Now, why would we say that? Surely, if they got saved, filled with the Spirit, and the kingdom of God came, they'd be alive. They went to be with the Lord, in the Lord's time, in the Lord's way. But they had power. They had power. I want to close with a little illustration. I bought a lawnmower once. It was an electric one. You know those ones? And we got it and put it down, and I couldn't get it to work. Oh, that's funny. Now, in my mind, okay, because I'm not a practical person, but I've been practical, it would be not just in my mind, it would be in pieces in no time, and I could never put them back together again. Oh, Jada, don't laugh, you know me. Angela, stop laughing. You know your dad. Look, your mum's not laughing. Oh, yes, she is. I'm not known for my practical skills. So it's not right to pull the lawnmower to bits. It will not work. And it's not right to pull life in yourself to bits. Let God do it. Because he's the technician that knows what parts to put where and when and how. And when it's that way, you get the power. I tried to switch the mower on, but I couldn't. But it was all put together. But there was one thing missing. I hadn't put the power on. Hadn't turned the power. So even if you're all put together by your efforts or whatever efforts, and you think you just got God's gift to the universe, hey, if you're not plugged into the power, you're just a nice little lawnmower that's got nowhere to go. And what's more, you won't cut any grass. So hear that as an illustration. First, seek the Lord with all your heart. Search for intimacy. Second, the heart motive is what is necessary in our walk, a heart for Jesus. Thirdly, plug into the power supply. And of course, Scripture says, you will know the truth. It sets you free. Be who you are, a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am. Now, you say that to the person beside you. No, I'm not trying to manipulate you. You're a child of God. And that's by the Spirit. And that's got to go from head to heart. We need to hear it lots of times, sometimes. So, Lord, I pray we'll get back to the heart. And, Lord, we won't assassinate our brains, but we will go from head to heart so we can love one another with the love of Jesus, whose love is shed abroad. Where? In our hearts. If something today has been touching you or reminding you, first of all, take your heart to Jesus. And if it's sincere for you, take your body to the front or go to someone who can pray for you and take the next step. And I just want to say, we're leaving you. I want to cry.
It's okay. Amen.
Linda.
I'm going to invite the family to come on up.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.